Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Why do they hate him? Some fresh perspective on this that helps you see the big picture. Impeachment update, the Sondland smackdown. Vindman the Terpsichorean. That's Vindman the dancer. The Nunez-Jordan double-team defense. Other developments you need to know about, you know, what's going on with Giuliani and the IG report coming, slowly getting out there, forwarding proof to the Justice Department that FBI agent Peter Strzok doctored the FISA warrant. But the really big news today comes from the Senate. Lindsey Graham launches investigation into Biden. And like you, I'm sick and tired of these narcissistic LGBTQ activists and their total disregard for the sensible sensitivities and liberties of others. Now, these are among the most selfish human beings on the planet today, friends. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Okay, why do they hate him? Savannah Hernandez for Action News, producer of The War Room, goes into the streets of Austin, Texas to ask what Trump has done that they're so angry about. The answers ran along the lines of what the Democrats have been pushing. You know, he abandoned the Kurds. He is caging the children. He has sought foreign assistance to investigate his political opponents. And that was, by the way, a smattering of responses that came from the few coherent individuals in this group. But most of the responses were people so overcharged with emotion, the individual simply couldn't speak. One guy was asked for just one thing that triggered him against Trump. He said, well, there are so many, you know, he could not narrow it down to one thing. So he was asked, well, just name one, and he couldn't do it. All he could get out of his filthy mouth was Trump is a MF, you know. Anyway, one poor lady just had to be confused by the question or something because she ends up listing several things Trump has done for the country, you know. The jobless rate falling off to almost zero. I mean, it's just unbelievable. The best economy ever, this kind of thing. Anyway, Savannah was understandably surprised at her response and thought she must have misunderstood the question. So she said, so these are the things that are so bad that you are protesting? And the lady said, yes, these are the worst things. It was bizarre. But I think she was trying to say, even though Trump says he's done all these things, he's still a bad person. And anyway, my point is, as I got to thinking about this, it's clear the one thing these folks have in common is, well, I should say, first of all, they're all liberal Democrats. And the second common denominator is they all get their news from the fringe media. Yeah, CNN, ABC, CBS, and so on. Oh, you call them mainstream media? You need to catch up with the times here. I mean, that's the audience share of those networks combined can't compete with the listenership of Rush, Hannity, Levin, or Fox News. One guy was asked why he protested Trump, and he mentioned the Trump-Zelensky call. Savannah asked whether he had read the transcript of the call, and he stammered about a bit before admitting that he had not read it. And he explained that, well, I follow it on the news. So that explains it. Now, for the record, I should explain here that I do follow the fringe media news outlets, such as CNN, ABC, MSNBC, AP, and even Huffington Post, you know, WAPO, New York Times, LA Times, and some moderate sources such as Wall Street Journal and so on, along with the mainstream American news sources such as Fox News and the news digesters such as Rush, Hannity, Levin, Tucker Carlson, Ingram, Bongino, Candace, and the ever-lovable Diamond and Silk Duo, and many more, by the way. Don't mean to leave anybody out. Along with some very serious sources such as Judicial Watch and the American Center for Law and Justice. For international news, I'll look to Debka File, Israel News Today, the Jerusalem Post, Haaretz, Arab News, Foreign Affairs, to name a few that I use. Anyway, I try to stay informed and I try to form my own commentary, taking into consideration what is being said by both sides on every question I address. Apparently, not one of the people Savannah talked to who was out there protesting in Austin, Texas, has bothered to actually listen to any opposing viewpoint because they seem to be totally ignorant about those issues. Now, that can be laziness, but I think it's something more than that. Also, the hatred for Trump is what's visceral. What does that mean? Okay, visceral. It means the hatred that doesn't come from the intellect. It doesn't arise from reasoned argument. It arises from deep inward feelings toward him, but not actually toward him, as I'll show. If you get into a conversation with a Trump hater and you begin to expose the fact that it's visceral and not intellectually based or founded, it can become emotional very quickly. For example, if you ask, why do you oppose Trump's presidency? And they say, well, because he puts children in cages. And you respond by saying, so you are talking about the border policy that requires the children to be separated from their parents, and they were being held in temporary holds made of chain link fencing. And you consider that to be immoral and wrong. Is that right? And they'll say, well, yes. You know, as if to say, don't you? And then you say, well, did you feel this way about that when this policy was put in place and carried out during Bill Clinton's presidency? Usually get, I didn't know about this being a policy put in place under Clinton. And then if you follow it up with, did you feel this anger about this policy when it was being done during the Obama administration? And they say something like, well, I didn't know it was going on then, or something along those lines. You'll find some that are still ignorant to that level. But most people know that this was happening during Obama. But they begin to become visceral, you see, and you can see it. The veins in their neck begin to pulse and their voice starts getting thin. And you ask, why do you suppose you are hearing about this so much now, but you never heard about it when Obama was president or when Clinton was president? Now, if they have not by now slugged you or, you know, knocked off your MAGA hat or kicked you or spat at you or called you a bigot or a homophobe or a racist, if they're still talking with you at this point and they have not broken down in sobs, muttering about how mean you are, and if you have a chance to begin pointing out how hard Trump has worked to mitigate the problem with this policy, to accommodate these children caught in this situation through no fault of their own, but because of their parents' bad decisions and so forth. If you start bringing that, who knows? You might have just thrown a little bit of light into their dark world. It's not likely you'll get that far with very many liberals these days, and that's because, as my friend Zach Harmon said this morning during breakfast, you can't reason someone out of a position they did not arrive at through reason. You can sometimes, however, nudge them toward the light, at least point toward it, and show them where it's at by jarring their reason free from the hold darkness has on them, and do that by declaring the truth into their dark hearts. Now, I've set up my expose on why they hate him, but before I deliver on that, let's look at how irrational is their hatred. Let's begin by offering my impeachment update. The Sondland smackdown. The Sondland testimony is being hailed by the Democrats as the longed-for smoking gun, the proof of a White House cover-up. ABC News, quote, Sondland testimony reveals White House cover-up, end quote. PBS shows Democratic questioning of Sondland, conveniently leaving out Jordan's smackdown on Sondland, which we'll get into in a moment. And by the way, if you watch the entire questioning of Sondland by Democratic counsel Daniel Sachs Goldman, by the way, yeah, I'm not kidding. Daniel Sachs Goldman, he's not a representative, by the way. He's a lawyer hired by Adam Schiff to assist in the investigation of Trump's business dealings and now tasked with interrogating witnesses in the Trump's a rascal farce. And so Sachs Goldman goes on to set up the witness, in this case, Gordon Sondland, current U.S. ambassador to European Union, who had a conversation with Zelensky during which he made a phone call to Trump that was overheard and repeated to the news, here spun in such a way so as to make it look like Trump was pressuring Sondland to pressure Zelensky to investigate Biden. That's what was being set up. And this counsel carefully worked to direct Sondland's testimony into support for the Democratic narrative that the Trump White House is engaged in a scheme, one of their favorite words here, to pressure Ukraine to dig up dirt on Biden that he can use in the upcoming 2020 election campaign. And again, it's just so bizarre. I mean, Trump really doesn't need any dirt on Biden. Biden's a bumbling, so Sondland testifies that in his opinion, the president wanted Zelensky to announce the investigation on Biden and on Burisma, because if you say Burisma, you mean Biden. Go ahead and let him make that connection. That's fine by me. Before he would release security aid to Ukraine. That was his perception. Now, this is important for many reasons, but consider this. Current Ukraine ambassador Taylor's belief that Trump tied security assistance to the Ukrainian president's announcement of an investigation into Burisma, ergo Biden. When Taylor's asked, where did you get this? He testifies, I got it from Sondland. And Sondland, by the way, repeatedly, and I watched this yawn, Sondland repeatedly said the president never said he conditioned neither the call nor the meeting in D.C. or the security assistance to any promise from the Ukrainian president to investigate Biden's connection to corrupt Burisma or any announcement to that effect. He repeatedly said it was his opinion that this is what Trump was doing, that he surmised this based on, well, all sorts of circumstances that to him added up to this conclusion. Therefore, the origination of this theory came from Sondland. He is the one that created it. Out of thin air, by the way, not from Ambassador Taylor, not from Giuliani, not from Pompei, not from the president. No one told him that the call or the meeting they were trying to arrange or the money, the security assistance, that any of that was contingent upon any announcement from Zelensky about an investigation. In fact, according to the Sondland, in a conversation he did have with Trump about this very thing, this particular question, when he finally asked directly for clarification on his instructions, what do you want the Ukrainians to do? And Trump said, nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I want nothing. All I want from Zelensky is that he do what's right, that he will do what he ran on. That was the clarifying moment for Sondland and really for all of us and for that entire investigation to collapse. And as Jordan brought out, the call was made without Ukraine making any announcement. The meeting took place without Zelensky making any announcement. The security aid was released without Zelensky making any announcement. So obviously, Sondland was, well, wrong in his presumptions, in his opinions. They made a mistake. He misunderstood the signals he was getting. He misread this president. I guess he thought he was dealing with, well, Obama, perhaps, or Clinton. He's not dealing with a corrupt Obama and his Alinsky tactics. He's dealing with an honest, straight-shooting American businessman who has the office of president and he's running it like a businessman would run it, who has every right, by the way, to distrust Ukraine, every legitimate reason to test the resolve of the new president to do as he promised in his campaign and root out the corruption that is rampant in Ukraine. Listen, if you ask me, I don't think there is any problem at all with the president of the United States putting pressure on Ukraine to clean up their dirty house if they expect to get assistance from us. Are you kidding me? You know the so-called black ledger came not from Russia. It came from Ukraine. And that was used to undermine a representative of the Trump campaign. The DNC, and by the way, I mentioned that because that's, we know that is a fact. There's a whole lot more that's being hidden right now, but we know that one. That's already come up. The DNC specifically tasked their Ukraine connection to get dirt on Trump and his campaign. This is something we know. But it's over the top outrageous what's going on here. So we'll have to take a short break to continue on the other side. Hold on, my dear friends. The Brainmaster will be right back. Folks, I can see right now that my second segment is going to run a little long. So we're going to roll on through the break.
Stand by.
And continue.
The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your
mind. Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Shai Bach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, your Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singing the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Now, there is a rule of law that says you cannot convict a person of a crime unless a crime has been committed. You know, trying to prove a conspiracy to commit a crime is very nearly impossible. And the point is, Sondland, ambassador to the European Union, who was engaged in negotiations with Ukraine to set up a call and a meeting between Ukraine and United States, got the impression along the way that the call and the meeting were conditioned upon the Ukraine President Zelensky making a public announcement that investigations into the Biden Burisma. You got to put those words together. When you say Burisma, you mean Biden. Don't forget that. That an investigation into Biden Burisma had been launched. And then Sondland just sort of assumed that that was the case. You know, that although no one had told him this was true, he assumed it. And it was the impression he got from the fact that he knew Trump wanted Zelensky to do this investigation and came to the conclusion that's what was hanging up, getting the call and the meeting all arranged. And when he learned the security assistance was being held up, well, he assumed that that also was contingent upon announcement from the president of Ukraine. Now, the fact is, as I pointed out before, and this is something that's not being addressed, but please listen to me, who cares? Now, listen, wait a minute. If the president has a personal beef with Ukraine because of what he knows is true about their involvement in our elections on behalf of Hillary and against him, and with all the fighting he has to do here to get anything done in this ridiculous environment we're in today, I would be suspicious of Ukraine too, and so would you, and anybody else that has a normal brain. I would say, okay, a new guy's come in. He has promised to drain the swamp there. That's a good thing. But he seems to be surrounding himself with bad actors from the old regime. So, I don't know. Let's see if he's going to clean up things over there or if he's going to continue the corruption. You see, I think it's perfectly appropriate for the president to be concerned about that and appropriate, therefore, to withhold assistance from a country that has been a bad actor when it comes to U.S. elections in the past. You know, until he has assurances. You know, whether it helps his campaign is totally irrelevant. How stupid is that? Now, listen, the president can't do anything that might have the appearance that it will help his campaign? Well, that's just foolishness. Obama told the Russian president to tell Vladimir to be patient because after the elections, he could be more flexible. And you could hear the power lines crepitating, crackling, drowning out the crickets. And we don't even have time to get started on Obama's involvement in Benghazi and the Hillary email scandal cover-up and all to protect his campaign and delivering billions to Iran and his involvement in spying on Trump's campaign all to help Hillary's campaign and while crepitating power lines and crickets compete in the night. But the point is, nothing happened. There was no quid pro quo because, in fact, there was no quid for the quo, okay? There was no this for that. Ukraine did not deliver the that for the this. It didn't happen. But Trump wanted it to happen. Well, really? And to whom did Trump say this? Well, I just inferred it. You know, it's like 2 + 2 = 4, right? I mean, I know Trump wanted Zelensky to announce an investigation, and Ukraine wanted a meeting, and they were looking for the security aid. So, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. I added that up. I got quid pro quo. My friend, this is unbelievable. This is not, you don't convict somebody on something. Let's do some math, shall we? How about we do some math? You ready for some inferential mathematics? Hunter Biden joins the board of Burisma, an energy company in Ukraine, in 2014. He's being paid $83,000 a month and admitted he has no idea why. In 2015, our ambassador to Ukraine under Obama was Jeffrey Piat. He raised concerns about the optics of Hunter Biden's connection with Burisma and identified the president of the Ukrainian energy company as exceptionally corrupt, and he called for him to be investigated by Ukraine. Now, we're told that Obama was apprised of this and expressed concern. In 2016, Piat was reassigned to Greece. Oh, and taking his place was Yovanovitch. Yeah, Yovanovitch had no problem with Burisma, but definitely had a problem with that Ukrainian prosecutor, let me tell you. During the 2016 election, Yovanovitch worked with the DNC operatives and Ukrainian officials to, well, undermine Trump's candidacy and to advocate for Hillary. And the other Ukrainian officials were right out loud in front of God and everybody advocating for Hillary and undermining Trump. After the election, Yovanovitch was so distraught that Trump won and Hillary lost that she refused to hang Trump's portrait in the embassy. That all by itself was sufficient cause for the president to fire her, by the way. How in the world are you going to get anything done with a diplomat under you that hates you so much she conspired with Ukrainians to undermine your election campaign and then after you're elected refuses to acknowledge that you're the president? How about you're fired? That's it. Meanwhile, after Piat recommended Burisma president be investigated for corruption, the Ukrainian prosecutor began an investigation. He raided the Burisma president's house on February 2nd. On February the 4th, Biden contacts the State Department, and Daddy Biden, that's Joe, you know, followed up with Ukraine on the 11th and on the 18th, and then again on the 19th. And Joe holds up U.S. loan guarantees of $1 billion. That's the quid, folks. Okay. Unless the then corrupt Ukrainian president fired the prosecutor, and that's the quo, folks. Yeah, I've tried. Quid pro Joe, the president of Ukraine complied with Biden's demands and fired the prosecutor. Uh-huh. The Ukraine provided the that and got the this. This is a clear and undeniable quid pro quo event. An actual exchange of value occurred in a setting in which the VP of the U.S. demanded a foreign leader do something. Fire the prosecutor that invaded the home of the president of the company his son worked for, Burisma, before the U.S. would release $1 billion in loan guarantees. Now, how does that add up in your inference calculator, my liberal friends? How does that add up? Do I think this is enough to convict Biden or his son? No. As a matter of fact, I don't. I do think it adds up to an investigation. The reason it goes past speculation and mere inference is that, in fact, there was a declared this for that, and the this for that happened. That's the major difference. And Biden bragged about it openly. This situation screams for an investigation. So that's what Trump wants. So do I. The secondary issue that such an investigation might compromise Biden's bid for the presidency is, well, not the point. The Dems are basically cornered. I really, when I look at this, they really don't have any way out at this point. They are committed to a coup. It's the only way they can keep their secrets hidden. But for the moment, think about this. Their inferential calculator adds up Trump's interest in investigating Biden as a political move to compromise Biden's bid for the presidency. That's a nonsense. But the facts compelling an investigation into Biden's quid pro quo move with Ukraine is, by any reasonable assessment, far more compelling than what they've come up with regarding Trump. Come on. And that's the obvious thing that's right in front of your face that you need to see. All of this is about covering up for Biden and ultimately covering up for Obama and Hillary. It's a cover-up. It is a massive cover-up. Anyway, the really big news today comes from the Senate. Lindsey Graham launches investigation into Biden. That's right, folks. Lindsey Graham has initiated the first steps toward investigating Biden for his collusion with Burisma. And by the way, remember, when you say Burisma, you mean Biden. And the corrupt president of the Ukraine in the firing of the prosecutor who dared to begin investigating corruption charges against the company his son worked for, getting $83,000 per month for? Well, Hunter Biden couldn't explain what for. The Vindman Terpsichorean. Vindman the dancer. The peacock pluming his medals, who expects his feathers make his opinion about Trump so credible, no one needs evidence. His opinion alone is enough to convict. Just look at those feathers. Wow, dazzled by his pluming, everyone's expected to see that for sure Trump colluded with Russia and is trying to divert attention to Ukraine. Well, this whole thing is just, it would be laughable. If it wasn't so wicked and evil, the Nunez-Jordan double-team defense. Hey, these guys are champions for liberty right now. Nunez and Jordan have doubled up and officially called for Adam Schiff to subpoena the whistleblower and Biden to testify before the committee. That's exactly what any reasonable person would expect Schiff to do. Giuliani comes out swinging from the corner that he's been pummeled into. He's been quiet for a while, right? Taking a lot of hits from the left. I've wondered what he's up to. Well, he's been trying to get the truth about what went down in Ukraine into the light of day. That's his task. But as he recently revealed, our ambassador to Ukraine, William Taylor, is blocking visas of any Ukrainian who wants to come here and blow up Schiff's completely fraudulent investigation, quote, and end quote. And that from the Conservative Review. Well, how about that? And the IG, the Investigator General, report that we've been waiting for is getting out there just little by little, releases information proving that Peter Strzok doctored a FISA warrant. My friend, that's got to be some kind of a crime, don't you think? That's very damning to the Dems' effort to hide all this. Now, this pushes forward the mighty wheel of justice that's slow to turn. And it's just getting started, folks. It's like a great wheel, heavy wheel. And it takes a huge amount of energy to get that wheel beginning to roll. But the thing about it is this, once this thing starts rolling, Lord have mercy, look out, it's going to crash through all that the Democrats have been trying to build up against Trump, like a hurricane through a house of cards. So that's my take on the impeachment investigation thus far. Why do they hate Trump? I'll not have time to finish that point. This show is very dynamic, but I hope you understand that. I start with a clear idea of where I want to go, but as I go, it just sort of gets a life of its own and takes its own shape. It's a question worth pondering, however, so I'm going to address it in my Issachar report Sunday night at 5 p.m. That's 5 p.m. to 5:30. I provide an Issachar report and a brief prayer meeting for our country, and I invite you to come. But I wanted to speak to the recent trend to force our young ladies in high school to undress in front of boys who claim they're girls. Like you, I'm sick and tired of these narcissistic LGBTQ activists with their total disregard for the sensible, appropriate sensitivities and liberties of others. Now think about this. They're demanding a right to force us, for example, to use the pronoun they believe identifies their gender, right? So if it's a boy we're talking to who believes he's a girl, we are being compelled, and they even want to make it a law and force us to use she in reference to him rather than he. Well, I identify as an even-tempered, well-adjusted lover of all mankind, so they can never call me a racist again. They don't have a right to call me bigoted because I don't self-identify as a bigot. It offends me. It's contrary to what I believe is true about myself. So you begin to see how absurd this is? You can't force me to accept your delusions. If somebody says, you don't have a right to call it delusion. Well, you don't have a right to say they're not then. All right? I mean, this is stupid, right? You don't have a right to force me to affirm them any more than I have a right to force you to not self-identify as a girl if you're a boy. If you think you're Napoleon, I'm not obliged to oblige your insanity. A boy who tells everyone around him that he is a girl has a right to do so. Yeah, I'll stipulate to that. He can call himself a girl if he chooses to. Stupid, but he can do it. But he can't force me to do it. He can't force me to call him a girl. Now, a boy who calls himself a girl competing in sports against God-ordained girls, you know what? The stinker is a lousy cheater. If he's going to play that game, he ought to have enough sense, enough respect for other people to just stay out of that. He's stealing from real girls any chance they have to compete fairly. He can't be so stupid that he doesn't know his body's designed differently. It's just wrong. A girl is denied the opportunity to compete fairly because of these people's delusional nonsense. No one cares about those girls who have a legitimate expectation to be treated fairly. Their feelings don't matter. Only the feelings of the LGBTQ confused, deluded people. They're the only people who have feelings that matter to anybody. The only thing that matters is that everybody bow down to the LGBTQ agenda and to force their delusions and sexual perversity on all of us. And somebody says, you don't have a right to call what they do sexual perversity. Are you kidding me? I have as much right to call that behavior perverse as anybody out there has a right to call it normal. I don't deny you the right to advocate for this nonsense behavior, this dangerous behavior, this life-threatening behavior, but you, and you know who you are so selfish and so presumptuous and so irrational and absurd as to think you have a right to believe what you believe, but I don't have a right to believe what I believe. Do you not see where this is going, what has happened with these ridiculous people, and the numbskulls that are bowing down to this, that are conceding to this foolishness? So now, because a boy thinks he's a girl, or pretends to think he's a girl, or has been convinced by others that he's a girl, all of that's going on. Whatever, we have to expose our daughters to this guy undressing in the locker rooms where our daughters have to change their clothes? This is head-exploding nonsense. Just say no to these selfish, myopic, thinking only of themselves people. No. You can think you're a girl. Go ahead. But you can't make me think you're a girl. You can think you're a girl, but you can't force me to allow you to take away from my daughter her privacy, her right to be a girl, to see herself as a girl, and to see you as a boy? Enough already. This is going to explode this country. I'm telling you, something needs to be done about this foolishness. Christians aren't going to say homosexuality is good when they know better. It's killing people. They're not going to say there are 51 genders when it's obvious there are only two. They're not going to bow down to this nonsense. You can set up your statue, Nebuchadnezzar, and you can blow your horns and beat your drums, but we're not going to bow down. Anyway, I've got to go. I've lit the lamps, the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.